We're going to begin our theme for the month of December on Be a Giver. Be a Giver. And so we're going to be talking about Jesus this morning and his example in being a giver. And I plan to take this in a little different direction than you may normally take things. So you just try to follow along with me this morning. I'm not quite sure where the Spirit is going to lead me, but I will follow it. And you just follow me. So let's pray together as we talk about being a giver to God's glory. Father in heaven, you indeed have given so much to us. We can't even count the immeasurable blessings that you've bestowed upon us. And most of all, you've given us Jesus. If we had nothing else but him, we have every reason to rejoice every day. Father, help us to grow in our appreciation for your grace, for your mercy, for your abounding love. And help us in our hearts to give as you have given to us. Bless our time together today. Speak to us, move us, help us to see how we can bring greater glory to your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're talking about being a giver like Christ. And I did some meditating and studying and went on a few prayer walks. And I just want to share with you some of what God impressed upon my heart that prayerfully can be an encouragement to you as well. And the first thing that came to my mind was, I know when Paul was helping Timothy and the churches throughout the different regions in which he ministered, there were two main things that came to my heart. And number one was he told Timothy to remember Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ. And then he told the churches throughout Corinth and different regions to imitate me as I imitate Christ. In other words, one was to remember Jesus Christ, and the other was to imitate Jesus Christ. And I think that would be two great things for us to impress upon our hearts today as we think about how we can give this month and in the months ahead so that we can give glory to God and really understanding that being a giver does more for you than it does for the people that you give to. And I just want to encourage us today that we need to take some time to remember Jesus Christ. Now, let me make sure. Okay, they're with me here. They're with me here. Am I doing this? Did I do that? I did that. Okay. So I just want to make sure I'm in control here. Remember Jesus Christ and imitate Jesus Christ. So number one, we're going to talk about remembering Jesus Christ. When you took communion, that was all about you remembering Jesus. And since we're such forgetful people, God wants us to take time every week to do nothing but remember Jesus. To take some time to reflect and to remember the death that he died for our behalf. In Luke 22 and verse 19, the Bible says that Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, I don't know why you're here this morning. Maybe a family member persuaded you to come. Maybe you're here for your children and you think it would be good for your children to have some kind of biblical influence. Maybe it's tradition. you've always gone to church and you don't know what else to do on Sunday mornings but go to church. Maybe it's guilt. You are burdened somewhere in your heart and you feel like if I come to church, it will relieve that burden. Maybe it's loneliness. You just didn't want to be home with just the television, so you thought you'd come out where there were other human beings. Maybe you're doing someone a favor. You know, for a long time, I went to church and I had no idea who Jesus was. And the reason that we come to church is we're here to remember Jesus. We're here to focus on Jesus. We're here to draw closer to Jesus. We're here to consider how we can imitate Him. And parents, don't just bring your kids to church because it's a good thing to do. Make sure they know who Jesus is. Don't just be a member of a church or join a church. You need to know who Jesus is. We do this because of Him. We do this for Him. We live better lives when every day we're taking time to remember Jesus. The reason that we encourage you every day to set aside some time, however short, however long, to be still, to open your Bible, to pray, and to remember Jesus Christ. We've got to remember Him. So many people go through the motions with church and they're religious, but they don't know Christ. And it's easy to leave a group of people that you're not connected with. It's not easy to leave Jesus if you know who He is and what He's done for you. So we need to remember Jesus. You know, Peter, the Bible says in Matthew 16, you know, Peter, he didn't get all the answers to the questions right. But on this one, he got it right. I don't know what's going on. I can't. Is this working? I'm just going to keep preaching. Okay. All right. And thank you. Thank you. He says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I want to ask you a question this morning. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus? I'm not talking about the Westchester region of the New York City Church of Christ. I'm talking about Jesus. Who is Jesus to you? You may not always be a part of this region. And there are people here today you may not always be connected with or in fellowship with, at least locally. But Jesus is supposed to be with you wherever you go. This makes all the difference in the world. Who is Jesus to you? I didn't ask you, did your parents bring you to church? Who is Jesus to you? I didn't ask you if disciples invited you and studied with you. Who is Jesus to you? And Peter got it right. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The church is important because it belongs to Christ. It is the church of who? Jesus Christ. It is the body of Christ. I've said this so many times, and I'm going to say it again. If you're here just for people, it won't last. And you will be miserable. Because people will let you down. And if they haven't let you down yet, you just keep on living. It's going to happen. But Jesus will never let you down. He will never forsake you. He will never desert you. He is always there, and you better be here for Jesus, or you're just here for the wrong reason. Who is Jesus to you? You know, I really struggle when I see people give up the faith. And a lot of times they make it all about people. Well, you know, Sam didn't do this, and Teresa didn't do this, and Cynthia didn't do this, and you know Kevin Finnerty, he got on my nerves, and this and this and this. And my question is, what about Jesus? I'm not leaving Jesus. Even if some disciple does something crazy, I didn't come here for them. I'm not staying here because of them. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Christ in my life. And he needs to be the Christ in your life. He's the anointed one. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Savior of my soul. I'm never going to leave him. Remember Jesus Christ. Look at what Jesus said in John 13. He told his disciples, hear that, he's just finished washing their feet. And he says, do you understand what I've done for you? And he asked them, he says, you call me teacher and Lord. And rightfully so, for that is what I am. You know, we're going to talk about being a giver in just a minute, but you've got to get on straight, first of all, who Jesus is. And I know we're going to be doing this little Christmas show and the program, whatever, but Jesus is not a little baby in a manger. He grew up, folks. And here the disciples are saying, and Jesus is saying to his disciples, you call me teacher, which really means master. And you call me Lord. And he says, and that's right. Because that is who I am. What is he to you? Jesus is not just my Savior. He's my Lord. And when Jesus is Lord, that means that you do what he tells you to do. And how do you know if Jesus is really Lord of your life? When you do what he tells you to do when you don't feel like doing it. That's when you know he's Lord. Now, when you become a disciple, Jesus is now the ruler of your life. And being a Christian means that I submit to Jesus. And the best Christian in the room, the best Christian, the best disciple in this room, including Andy Finnerty, does not always want to do what Jesus wants you to do. And if you're honest, there are times the Lord wants you to do things, the conversations the Lord wants me to have that I don't want to have. But I have them anyway, not because I want to have them, but because what? Jesus is what, church? He's Lord. You know, the weather's getting ready to change. There are going to be some Tuesday nights when I don't want to go on down to the Baptist church. And I've been a Christian a long time. But you know why I'm going to go? Because Jesus is what, church? Jesus is Lord. There are times when my feelings want to get the best of me and my moods. And I just don't want to be bothered. I know you've never felt that way, but I'm just trying to be real. But I do what I need to do because Jesus is what, church? Jesus is Lord. And Jesus needs to be Lord of your life. And we've got a problem in the church that we're trying to help people be disciples, do what's right when they've not made the decision to make Jesus Lord. No one should have to beg you to do what you know is right because Jesus is Lord. And I tell you, you're wasting a lot of time and a lot of energy trying to get people to do what they've already said they would do. when they made Jesus Lord. You know, we've got to ask ourselves the why. Why? Why are we here? This is why we're here. Christ's love compels us. Because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. I remember Jesus. He rescued me. I remember Jesus. He delivered me. I remember Jesus. He gave his life for me. I remember the people he sent into my life. I don't even know where all those people are. But I know Jesus sent them and they showed me Jesus. I remember the situation I was in before Jesus came into my life. I don't want to go back to that. But I thank God today that Jesus loved me so much that he died for me. And if there was no one else who needed his death, he would have been willing to do it, but I thank God that he did it for me, and I'm convinced that he died for me, and therefore I must die to myself. His love must compel us. And yes, we do need each other, and yes, we do need encouragement, and yes, we do need to spur one another on. We need to do all these things. But at the end of the day, you've got to do it because of his love for you. That's what's got to move you. Why deny myself? Why even take time to have a theme about being a giver? It's because Christ's love compels me. Without Christ, I would just be a selfish person. Self-centered, only thinking about me. But because of Christ, I'm not sure what they just said, but We do it because of who, church? Because of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to get to the practical here in a moment, but forgetting is dangerous. All right? Forgetting is dangerous. When we forget, we stop being thankful. And when we stop being thankful, we stop giving. And this is why the Israelites had such a hard time. In Psalm 106, it says, they forgot the God who saved them, who had done great things in Egypt, miracles in the land of Ham, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. We live in a world that has forgotten God. And whether you're a Christian or not, God has blessed your life. If you got up this morning, it was because of God. Every blessing in your life is because of God. You may not know him, but he knows you and he's blessed your life. The parents you have, it's because of God. The health you have is because of God. The material blessings you have is because of God. Never forget what God has done for you. We become Christians because we remember what God did for us through Jesus Christ. But if you forget, then you turn away from God. Church, don't forget Jesus. You know, sometimes we see with people's kids, they're just ungrateful. I'm not talking about any kids in our fellowship, because all of our teens and preteens are the most thankful of creatures. But sometimes people forget what their parents have done. You know, if you grew up, nobody grew up with perfect parents, did they? But you know, your parents did more for you before you could even remember or understand than you could even count. No one gets here by themselves.
But sometimes we forget and we take for granted. Sometimes disciples take for granted church leaders. And I'm not trying to hold up church leaders, but let me tell you, a lot goes on behind the scenes that you don't know about that great, that good servants in this church are taking care of. And the Israelites, God did all these great things and they just forgot. That's why every week we have to take time to remember. Remember Jesus Christ. So I wanted to take a little time to talk about all that before I got to some practical stuff. And just remember Jesus. And my second point is just simply this. Imitate Christ. Did that come up?
Right. Okay.
Imitate him. You know, Jesus told his disciples, he says, I've set you an example that you should do as I have done. You know, the great thing about Jesus, he didn't just come and give us a bunch of rules and laws, precepts, ordinances, and commands. He showed us the way. He showed us how to live for God. He showed us a life that was pleasing to God. He came and he got his hands dirty. He got in the trenches with people. And he loved them and he sacrificed for them and he gave himself to them and he healed them and he fellowshiped with them and he loved them. He showed us how to do it. That's why you need to be in your Bible every day remembering Jesus so you can imitate Jesus. And then Paul tells us, this is amazing. If you don't hear anything else I have to say today, I want you to hear this scripture right here. Philippians 2, verse 3. All right. Where it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. But in humility, consider others what, church? Say it again. What's the word? Tell somebody you're better than me. Oh, some of you struggling with it, right? It's like, oh no. I'm just doing it because Sam said so. He said, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of who? Christ Jesus. Who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If we could live out Philippians 2, 3 through 11, the church would be a better place. The world would be a better place. Because he tells us you need to have the attitude of Jesus Christ. And the attitude of Christ is an attitude of sacrifice. It's an attitude of serving. It's an attitude of self-denial. It's an attitude of what can I do to build others up, to give glory to God. That's the attitude of Christ. We live in a world where we see the horrors of selfishness. Probably the greatest sin we commit is selfishness. Men take advantage of women, selfish. Children disobey parents, selfish. You see it on your job, the difficulty, selfishness. You know, I turned on the news, and it's been all over the news lately, about how a man killed his pregnant wife and his two daughters because he was engaged in an affair with another woman. Who was he thinking about? Himself. And we may not take it that far,
But sometimes even in the little things, someone asks you to do something, you don't want to do it because you're thinking about you. Don't interrupt me. Don't disturb me. You know, I'm comfortable in my own little world. Well, Jesus didn't die for you to be comfortable in your own little world. You're the best person you can be when you are selfless, when you're giving to others, when you're denying yourself. And let me tell you something, church, this was not easy for me. And I figure I'm normal. Most of the time, I'm normal. And so I figure it's not easy for you either. But I know that Jesus died for me to die, for me to become a selfless person. He says, consider others better than yourself. In other words, take time to think, how can I be a servant, a giver to others? Consider it. Instead of just considering what people need to do for you. He says, look not only to your own interests. In other words, look for ways to give to others. Because is that not what Jesus did? Is that not what we are called to imitate? His heart, his selflessness. You know, I was thinking about my day yesterday. Some things didn't work out the way I wanted them to yesterday. And I don't know if you have days like this, but sometimes I have days where things just don't work out the way I hoped. And I was struggling with it. So I went off on a prayer walk and I was focusing on Jesus. And I just got so convicted. Because Jesus never sat around going, why didn't things work out for me? Why didn't they call me? Why didn't they follow up with me? I texted them. They didn't text me back. Why not? I left a voicemail. You forgot me. You forgot me. You passed by me. What? Having my own little pity party, and I was off praying, and everything about Jesus said, deny yourself, fool. What's wrong with you? You deserve nothing. Stop it. Just stop it. I had to have my own little devotional there. And I came out of it. I was a little bit better. But you got to work on it and you got to remember Jesus. Imitate Jesus Christ. Man, are we imitating Christ? Sometimes when we ask for volunteers, we look around and we go, I hope somebody else does it. Here am I. Send her. You know, you can really grow in your servitude if you go ahead and serve in Kids Kingdom. But why don't you do it? I don't want to do it because I want to give you an opportunity to do it. I don't want to rob you of the blessing. Here's another scripture I had to meditate on yesterday. Here it is. Oh, there it is. Galatians 2 verse 20. Me and this monitor, man, we're having a hard time. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Now, I want you to say that with me. Only say it if you mean it. If you don't mean it, just shut up. Don't say anything. Let's say it together. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. How does that feel? Imitate Christ. I've been crucified. The old Sam Powell has been crucified. Now here's the thing. When you get baptized, that's the beginning of the crucifying, not the end. You have to die every day. You know, in my marriage, I have to tell myself, Sam, you've been crucified with Christ. Cynthia's like, can you do this? Can you do that? And, you know, we've been married a long time, but I still have to go, yes! 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 I'll do it! I'll do it! Yes! Why not? Jesus would!
The battle. It may not ever happen to you, but I'm just talking about me. Sometimes I get a phone call. Sam, are you available? Oh, am I available? I think the sniffle's coming on. I might be getting a little sick. Maybe I'm not available. I have to work on it, man. But I have to remember, I have been crucified with Christ. Isn't that right, church? I have been crucified in what? I no longer live. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me so that I could give myself to others. Come on! Nobody said this was going to be convenient. Come on! Make yourself do what you know you need to do so you can give glory to God. That's imitating Jesus. He didn't want to go to the cross, but he did it for you. And even while he was on the cross, he was still talking and thinking about others. To the very end. So let me close out with this. Did it come up? Practical ways to be a giver. We're going to wrap it up. Pray for others. Get your prayer list together this month. And let people know I'm praying for you. You're on my list. You're on my heart. Give praise and compliments. The worship team did a great job this morning singing. Pray. They need to stop all the little preaching that they do before. But other than that, they're just awesome. They're awesome. Can we give them a little praise this morning? Are we grateful for what they do? Don't be stingy with your compliments. Build people up. You know, send somebody a note, an email, a text, positive. I want nothing but to encourage you. Get rid of things you're not using. You know, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have our Christmas service. I encourage you. Don't just come empty-handed. Bring a gift, a small gift. It may be something that you haven't used that could help someone else. But think about how you can give to someone. I just want to give this to you just out of the goodness of my heart. It could be such an encouraging day. You know, my wife has already been given gifts all over the kingdom. I went to the church office and I took two bags of gifts. She gave a gift to and they're just thanking me. She wasn't there. They're thanking me. And I'm just going, what'd you get? Because I had no idea. But that's her heart. That's her heart. Share a meal. She did that the other day. Made a meal. If only if you can cook. Share a meal with somebody. Share your talents. We got so many gifted people in this room. Use your gifts to build up the church. Am I right? You know, increase your church contribution. We've already increased ours. The Bible says that you're to add to your faith goodness and the goodness knowledge and the knowledge perseverance and the perseverance godliness and godliness brotherly kindness and the brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You keep adding to these things. Can't you add a dollar to your giving in 2019? If everybody in New York church added $1 to their giving, our contribution would increase by $145,000 for the year. $1. $1. $1 in this region, and our contribution would increase over $60,000 in 2019. $1. Grow. Give. Be like Jesus. God bless you.